Well, we've been working on this bill for actually 3 years. It's we proposed the bill, so we are delighted to see it introduced.
Carol, tell us, what are the key elements to a caucus bill? What are the most important things that you think the SES will get out of it?
Well, there are actually three key elements, and each has several provisions, of course. Nothing is ever terribly simple. One has to do with restoration, what we call restoration of career leadership. And the provisions there, we think, are important for two reasons. First, to maintain continuity. You know, career executives have a long-term view. They have deep knowledge. And in fact, research has shown they have better management capability than political appointees. So that's one reason for concern for that series of provisions. And the other is that it's really important to provide career opportunities and promote more communication among the career political team. That facilitates the partnership, which we think is essential to success. The other two elements have to do with reforming the pay and performance management system and dealing with career development. And those are important because with the high SES retirement eligibility rates, we are really concerned that we do everything we can to attract the best and the brightest for the next generation.
I guess you think that Senator Akaka's provision that would more closely link the SES's pay to the general schedule will help with that by attracting people to the SES. Is that right?
Well, the lack of a very much of a pay differential is a detractor to serving in the SES. And let me just be clear, though, the bill does not provide for senior executives to receive locality pay. What it does provide is that given that they are in a pay-for-performance system and all their pay adjustments are totally based on their performance, what the bill does say is that if you receive an appraisal of fully successful or better, what you should receive is at least an adjustment that is equal to that which the general schedule receives, that is to say the national comparability adjustment.
Carol, that second element of the three that you mentioned, if we can dig down into that a little bit further, you said it would promote communication between the political folks and the career senior executives. How exactly would it go about that?
Well, by providing, as I indicated, more opportunity at the higher levels for career executives. And let me just explain, in 1978, when the SES was created, if you had looked across all of the departments and agencies, what you would have seen in Assistant Secretary for Administration positions were career executives. In those days, the so-called super great positions. So what we have in the bill is requiring that the Assistant Secretary for Administration or Management would be career, and to have at least one career senior executive at the principal deputy assistant secretary level for each assistant secretary position. And as well, it would designate other positions with agency-wide responsibility for career appointments. And that makes a big difference, not only for career progression, but as I say, to make clear that these folks are indeed a part of the team that's essential for success.
So I know that there's been a lot of talk about what to do with the SES lately. There was a report that came out from the Partnership for Public Service that said that today's SES is not how Congress envisioned it when it created it in the 1970s. They envisioned this sort of mobile cadre of executives able to manage this agency or that agency. And the partnership also wrote to Senator Akaka saying that they think this is a great bill, but they do believe that comprehensive reform needs to build mobility into the selection criteria. As I read it, this bill does not address mobility. And am I correct in my reading? And how do you feel about that part of it?
Well, it does address mobility in one way that we think would make a very big difference in the end. It's not rocket science, but as I say, it would be critical. And that is, by creating a central SES profile registry, if you have that and require all senior executives to input information regarding their experience, their education, their skills, etc. Then you have a place that agencies can go when they are looking to fill positions and proactively recruit instead of requiring executives to seek out these positions and apply for them. It also would enable government to look to that registry when there's a need for short-term details or assignments to interagency committees, which provide valuable experience in collaboration, and also when there are national needs. So that is something that's relatively simple. Obviously, it'll take some resources, but it's never been done, and we think it can make a huge difference.
And another quick point on this legislation, there are some things in it that address what I guess is perceived to be kind of fuzzy results when people don't, when SES members don't get a great performance evaluation. They're not necessarily told why. There's a belief out there that there are quotas, so not every SES person can be rated outstanding. Is that, in fact, based in reality, that perception? And again, how does this bill address that problem?
Well, what we have seen are basically two problems, that there's, in spite of OPM regulations, there really isn't enough transparency often in the system. And the other problem, which we have indeed seen, is a supervisor can recommend and provide a rating to a senior executive. Later along the way in the process, that rating is lowered, but the executive is never told why. So what the bill provides is indeed more transparency. It requires that executives be notified of their ratings, receive feedback. And if there is a lowered rating, and that's not to say that, well, you did well last year but not this year. No, it's if you received a rating, subsequently changed, you have to receive an explanation of why. The other issue that is related is some agencies are using so-called tiers, typically three tiers, which are essentially substitutes for the old SES ranks, and executives being placed into them without any understanding of what the criteria are. So the bill would provide that they receive an explanation of what these tiers are, what the criteria are for placement. And it would, of course, prohibit the application of quotas to the ratings.
We're talking with Carol Bonassaro. She's the president of the Senior Executives Association. And Carol, from what I understand, there's going to be a President's Management Council meeting a little later today where they're going to talk about the new performance review system. From your perspective, what are the pros and cons of that new system?
Well, I think I'll give you two of each. A pro is certainly there's more uniformity government-wide, which goes towards the notion of, indeed, this should be a government-wide core, and yet it does provide agencies some flexibility. It also provides clear definitions. For example, what does a rating at the outstanding or the exceeds expectation, what does that mean? What would it take to achieve that? Among the cons, certainly, is the fact that an outstanding rating is going to be enormously, I think, difficult to achieve. Essentially, the system provides for a total of 500 points to be outstanding. You have to receive 475. The other concern we have is that an agency can place up to 60% of the rating on the criterion which is delivering results. And there are four other criteria, too early in the morning for me, that are counted in the performance appraisals: leading people, building coalitions, business acumen, and leading change. So those can get somewhat short shrift, and that's of concern to us.
So, Carol, just one final question in the minute that we have left. This is a meeting of the President's Management Council, pretty high-ranking political appointees. And I'm just wondering, how much of an influence have they had on this? And do you think it's actually been beneficial that these politicals have had have been working on this, or do you think that that might be interfering with these career senior leaders' advancement?
Well, the President's Management Council, I guess now at least 2 years ago, undertook something they called the SES Initiative, and they staked out a number of areas for attention. And so attention, I think, is always good when you think about what you can do with regard to the SES as opposed to them. But as best I can tell, the real input was having a large number of agencies involved with OPM in the design of the system. So rather than the council itself, it evolved at that level. And I think that process of a very large work group helped to move this along ultimately.